Do any of you have that one person at work who's always trying to get a day off? At Brighton Family Medicine, that's Shanta, the lady who draws blood in the lab for us. And so she was talking with the girls this past Monday, and she said, "You know, we really ought to get the Monday after Mother's Day off." And she said, "Dr. Cook, don't you agree?" And I said, "Absolutely not." Then I knew I was in trouble because she put her hand on her hip and she said, "Well, why?" And I said, "Because Mother's Day ends at midnight. Y'all get 24 hours and that's it. It's back to work." But moms, do you ever feel that way? Like the appreciation for 525,000 minutes of blood, sweat, and tears as a mom or wife boils down to 24 hours of thank yous on Mother's Day only? You know, Scripture repeatedly commands us to honor, revere, and give special recognition to the role moms and wives play in our lives. In Exodus 20:12 and repeated in Ephesians 6:2, we read, "Honor your father and your mother." In Proverbs 23:22, "Do not despise your mother when she is old." Leviticus 19:3, "Every one of you should revere his mother and his father." But two words that you will not find in association with those verses, you know what it is? Mother's Day. Or any limitation to a 24-hour period. Why? Because our honoring, revering them, giving special recognition to them should be continual. It in no way ends at midnight on the second Sunday of every May, does it? Why? Because the message I want to preach tells us that a family's greatest treasure is a mother of faith. Amen. As I said earlier, it's a widely inclusive term. Mother, it's not simply restricted to giving birth to a child. I know a lot of women in this sanctuary who are mothers to people they have not given physical birth to. For one, my wife and the two precious girls that we have, Amy Darty, same with Lauren, you with John Hayden's girlfriend, Lauren. And so there's lots of you, like I said, that are mothering big sissies. Amen. And so this message is for all the true moms and wives, not just physically. And so we're going to explore this idea of a family's greatest treasure as a mother of faith, a woman who is so valuable, such an asset to her family, she deserves constant praise. And we're going to look at six aspects of such a woman, and each one is based off one of the six goodies that's in your bag. So let's look together at a family's greatest treasure as a mother of faith. So stand with me to honor the reading of God's Word. I'm just going to read a couple of verses. We'll actually be reading several others, but this will get the main point that we want. Proverbs 31, verses 10, and then 28 and 30. "An excellent wife, who can find her? She is far more precious than jewels. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." Mm-hmm. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today, and again, Father, we just cannot thank you enough for the moms and the wives that are present in our lives, Father, that mean so much to us, the love and the grace and the mercy that they show to us. Father, help us to remember that we are to honor them, but nowhere do you command us to limit that to 24 hours, that it is to be a constant praise. Write these words today upon our hearts and upon the mothers' hearts here today so that they will know that they are blessed. It's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So, six things. First, a mother of faith. Praise her commitment. Her commitment. In your bag, there should be a peppermint patty. And so, praise her commitment. God is a God who has always called His people to and expected from them commitment. Amen? Turn to Genesis 2. As Noah said last Sunday during Impact, we're going to get our preach aerobics on. We're going to flip through a little bit. Genesis 2:16-17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Flip to Exodus 16. We looked at this last week in the Sunday school hour. I brought it back to our attention this morning. Exodus 16:4. So in the garden, God asked for commitment. In the wilderness, He asked for commitment. Verse 4, Then the Lord said to Moses, Behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day. Why? That I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And then in the promised land, flip to Joshua 24. See, I tried to put this so it wouldn't confuse you. In the promised land, he expected commitment. Joshua's given his farewell address, so to speak, before he dies and the Lord calls him home. Joshua 24:15. And if it's evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But what as for me and my house, we're going to be committed to the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Turn to Matthew chapter 22. Because Jesus, as Emmanuel, God with us, called us to an even more radical commitment than any of that. Matthew 22. And so this lawyer comes testing Jesus. He didn't really want to know what his answer was to this question, did he? He just wanted to test him. And he says, Teacher, won't you boil down the 613 commandments that we've got and tell us what is the greatest one? Verse 37, he says, You shall love the Lord your God with what? All your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And I'll flip over there quickly for us, Luke 9:23. You want to talk about radical commitment? Here's what Jesus calls us to. And he said to all, If anyone would come after me, what? Let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And they knew in that day that the cross was not just some nice pretty thing we wrap onto a bracelet or we wrap onto a necklace. It was an instrument of torture. And he says, this is what you can expect out of this life if you're committed to me, that it is not going to be a bed of roses. Amen. Garibaldi, who was an Italian general in the 1800s, he personally commanded and fought many military campaigns, and it helped to lead to a unified Italy. Well, how did he do that? But he had an incredibly committed volunteer army. And here's how he appealed to recruits. He didn't say, I'm going to pay you a big fat paycheck. He said, I offer neither pay, nor quarters, nor provisions. I offer hunger, thirst, forced marches, battles, and death. Let him who loves his country with his heart and not with his lips only follow me. And men did, and they effected a unified Italy. Jesus invites us to a discipleship, and he says, I ain't got a paycheck on the earth to give you, but I got one day in glory that's way better. I ain't got quarters. The Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay his head. He went hungry and thirsty many times, but here you go. If you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and not just your lips only, then be my disciple. And yet, what do we see in 21st century Christianity? What we see is what Kyle Alderman refers to as fandom, not followers. I went to the Grizzlies game last night, some more on that in a minute, and there was a ton of fans. But I guarantee you there ain't a whole lot of followers in there, because as soon as they start losing, there ain't going to be no more fans. And so Kyle says that a fan is an enthusiastic admirer. A follower is Luke 9:23 that takes up his cross and follows him. And he talks about DTR moments. You see, DTR moments strike fear in the hearts of men everywhere. Let's see, if Brittany had a DTR moment with Jacob, it would start to strike fear in his heart. And guys, you've had that moment in your life, and you know what I'm talking about. When the lady in your life says, Where do you see this relationship going?
Man, that don't faze me.
It don't right now, brother. But I want you to picture yourself going into Starbucks. You sit down, you get you a snack, and if it were me, I'd sit down and get me a peppermint white chocolate mocha, because that's my favorite drink. I sit down, and you sit down for a few quiet moments to yourself, and lo and behold, guess who walks in the front door? None other than Jesus Himself. And He comes over to your table, and you go, "Hey, Jesus, how's it going? How's Moses doing, you know?" And he skips the small talk, and he sits down, and he says, "Where do you see this relationship going?" Define the relationship. Are you a fan of mine? Are you a follower? And so Jesus is still looking for moms who exemplify commitment and who will stand up and say, "I don't care what's going on in this world. It's going to you know where in a handbasket, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to be committed to Him." Turn to Luke 1, and I think the greatest example of a mother in Scripture and her commitment is Jesus' mother Himself, or herself. As you're turning to Luke 1, I'll remind you what Simeon said to her in Luke 2:35. He said, "A sword is going to pierce through your own soul because of this child." Luke 1:26, the sixth month, angel Gabriel was sent from God to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. He says, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." And then skip down, he says, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He'll be great, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David." She says, "How is this going to be? I'm a virgin." He says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. The child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." And we know that she was betrothed to Joseph. She knew what if a child that was not his came into her life, what it would mean. And we read in Matthew 1 exactly what it meant, because what was Joseph going to do? He was going to put her away quietly. Tongues were going to wag about what she had done and all of this. And look at what she says in verse 38. "Behold what? I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Whatever the Lord's plan is for my life and for my family, I'm going to be committed to it. Talk about commitment. And so let me ask you, how's your commitment? Are you a fan or a follower? What would those closest to you in your household say? Are you teaching your family to love the Lord your God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength? If Jesus came in and had a DTR moment with you and said, "Well, I'm going to score you 0 to 100, where would He put you? And so what steps do you need to make that better? And so praise the mom for her commitment. Secondly, praise her tender touch. You should have some cotton balls in your little bag. Moms are tough, amen? You see, there's one person in the Cook household you don't want to make angry. She scares me even after 15 years. I know she scares our children. Think of some of the tough lessons your mom has taught you and your wife is teaching your kids. How about biology? If you fall off there and break your neck, then don't come crying to me. Exactly. You won't be able to run. How about religion? You spill something on the carpet, you better pray this comes up out of this carpet. Sound waves. Talking to you is like talking to a brick wall. Y'all know foresight. Would you make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident? Well, Mom, if they were clean before, they're not going to be after the accident. My favorite is irony. Stop crying or I'm going to give you something to cry about, right? Oh, Jenny's mom lets her do whatever. Well, fine, go live with her. I'm going to help you pack.
Been there.
Not with Jenny, though.
How about stamina? Noah, you're going to sit there till all that broccoli is finished.
He'd still be sitting there.
That was a long 3 hours.
Farming and weather. Look at this pigsty, would you? Looks like a tornado swept through your room. Or the circle of life. I brought you into this life and into this world and I can take you out. Moms are tough. Amen? But oh, aren't moms tender? Let me give you a few examples from mine and Vicky's life you can relate to. Kid has a bike wreck, comes in, their knees scraped up. They come to dad, I say, man, go rub some dirt in it.
Amen.
Mom kisses the boo-boo and it's all better, right? It's a big storm, the kids run in the bedroom, want to get in the bed, and I'm like, hey, suck it up, get back to bed. You are not getting in here. Sure, honey, you can get in the bed and sleep with us and kick daddy all night. It's okay. Sit down, you know, finally get some shoulder-to-shoulder time, watch a movie, and here comes one of the kids yelling from the bedroom, you know, about some monster in their closet, and I'm like, what? There ain't no monster in the closet. We're trying to watch a movie. Go back to bed. She gets up, goes, checks the closet, and lays down with said kid and falls asleep. Or wake up and I'm like, why is this kid laying on the couch, and why are they saying they're not going to school today? They were fine last night. Well, you weren't up all night long till 2 a.m. cleaning up their vomit, and that's why they're not going to school. Or maybe they come and sit down at the dinner table, and you look at them, and you say, man, you look kind of tired. What's going on? Did you just wake up from a nap? And Vicky looks over at them with that mommy vision, looks in their eyes, and says, oh, no, they're getting sick, and 3 hours later, they got 115 fever, right? I think one of the best examples of tenderness in a mother is this Proverbs 31 mom. So turn to Proverbs 31. It's just like Jacob said earlier, you know, sometimes we're there and we're going, help me, mom, smother me with love. And then sometimes we go running to her because we need her tenderness and her tender touch. Amen. Proverbs 31, 25. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. You know, if I've learned anything in my life by living with one woman for 15 years and raising two girls for the past 18 years, it's that y'all love clothes. And you spend an inordinate amount of time picking them out. Any of you ever been to the mall with your wife? Yes, you know what I mean. But ladies, if you really want to clothe yourself, you really want to dress up, you want to wear something fancy, then it ain't Versace or Donna Karan or Vera Wang, but you clothe yourself with kindness and tenderness, as Colossians 3:12 says, as 1 Peter 3:1-2 says, if you have a husband that isn't a believer, then you win him by tender conduct. And are you tough? Yes, but are you tender? Are you hugging, kissing your kids? Are you clothing yourself with kindness and tenderness? And so next is a mother of faith prays her role. R-O-L-L. You should have a Tootsie Roll in your bag. Joseph Worthland says, the more often we see the things around us, even the beautiful and wonderful things, the more they become invisible to us. That is why we often take for granted the beauty of this world, the flowers, the trees, the birds, the clouds, even those we love, because we see things so often, we see them less and less. Isn't it a tragedy that some of the things we take most for granted are the ones we love the most? Do you as a mom, wife, often feel taken for granted? Kids, husbands, being honest, do you often take your mom, the precious wife that is with you, for granted and underappreciate her? A philosopher said the deepest craving of human nature is the need to be appreciated. And so let me speak to the moms for a second and then the kids and husbands. Moms, number one, Satan wants you to feel unappreciated, doesn't he? Ephesians 4:26 talks about not give an opportunity to the devil. And by feeling unappreciated, you can give some opportunity to the devil, can't you? And so number two, don't forget from whom your true appreciation reward comes from. We were sitting at the table, I believe it was Friday evening. Dickie had worked all day and came home and cooked. And then, as usual, the complaints start rolling. The complaint train starts rolling down the tracks. Oh, what is this? What kind of meat is this? I can't identify it. What is this that's with it? And she was about ready to lose it. And I said, hey, I've already said, if you live in my house, you're going to be a sermon illustration. Amen? Get ready.
I'm sorry.
But I said, dear, did you not really listen to the wives' sermon? Who is it you're really working for? Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You're not getting a paycheck from us in appreciation. We could never appreciate you enough. You're going to get a great paycheck one day. Amen. And here's some bad advice for women. You know, it may work good in Hollywood to say, you complete me. But ladies, if you are expecting us to complete you and make everything appreciate you in life, you're going to be setting yourself up for failure, aren't you? And then number three is understand your true role. Sheila Gregory has a blog. It's entitled The Love, Honor, and Vacuum. And she gives the top 10 things wives and moms do that they think are helping but really making things worse, such as doing all the housework themselves. And she lists 9 things, and she says that number 10 basically sums up the first 9. And how many of you do you fall into this trap, moms and wives? You think the goal is to make your family happy. And I love what she says right after that. This is what she said, quoting her. She said, God's priority is not that your kids are happy. It's that they look like Jesus. Wow. And then she says, and He wants the same for you and your hubby as well. You know, Buffy Cook and the Cook family look more like Jesus Christ thanks to Vicki Cook than they ever would have without her. And so kids, husbands, praise her, as we've talked about, not just for 24 hours. You know, they didn't have a Mother's Day in Israel, did they? And so praise her constantly. I think one of the greatest examples of this in Scripture is Eunice. Turn to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy 1:5, talk about the role of a mother. Her son was perhaps the right-hand man of the greatest apostle, Paul. In verse 5, he says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, Timothy, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. So, moms, is your priority for your family happiness or Christ-likeness? Next, praise her piece of the puzzle. Her piece of the puzzle. You should have a little puzzle piece in your bag. I made mention before, when it comes to church in this country, many folks have a take it or leave it attitude, and most people, it's a what? Leave it. The latest statistics say there's 114 million unchurched in the U.S. as of 2014. If you made that its own separate nation, it would be the 8th most populous country in the world. In the past decade, the number of unchurched adults has grown by more than 30%, and that is 38 million people more than live in all of Australia. And unchurched typically is men, but what is rapidly closing is that women don't go either. And many today in churches would say, well, let's just put the women over to the side. Let's minimize, marginalize their role in the church community. And they forget that in Luke 8:1-3, that you know how Jesus was provided meals and He was provided many times. It wasn't the men, it was the women that were providing out of their treasure and out of their pocketbook. So a mother of faith plays an essential part of the church community. I think one of the least well-known and appreciated women when it comes to this is Priscilla. Turn to Romans chapter 16. I'm just going to read that one verse. Paul meets Aquila and Priscilla in Corinth. They had been expelled from Rome by Claudius. Paul works and ministers with them because they were tent makers as well. He ministers with them for a year and a half in Corinth. They had a church in their home. They moved to Ephesus. Paul is so enamored with this couple and their commitment to the Lord. He leaves them there in Ephesus. They have a church in their own home. And at some point along the line, we read this that Paul writes about them. Romans 16, 3 to 5. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life. And if we read the times that her and her husband are mentioned in Scripture, half the time her name comes first, which has led many commentators to say she had the more active spiritual role. And so the question is not, ladies, are you an important piece of the puzzle at Crossway? Because you are. The question is, are you adding your piece to the puzzle? Amen? Are you a small, as Dr. Tony Evans says, a Sunday morning only? What is God calling you to here? How would Crossway be enhanced and grow, the kingdom of God grow, if you became a Priscilla and you took on your role in God's kingdom and here at Crossway? And then next, a mother of faith, praise her aid. Moms, would you agree that not only is your family guilty of not appreciating all you do, but you don't give yourself enough credit for all you do? I mean, many women, I think, read Proverbs 31, and what do? Cringe. They feel guilt. They say, I'm not doing that. I could never be that kind of woman. But you know, if you sat down and looked at it, many of you are doing just as much as she does in there or more. There was a survey where they asked wives and mothers to say what they were worth. 11% said what they did in a year was worth $10,000 a year. Only 7% said what they do is worth a six-figure salary. This organization then computed the worth of a mom based on the top 10 things that she does, and it came out to $113,586 a year you would need to replace mom. That's a lot of aid and comfort, isn't it? Again, we see this in the Proverbs 31 woman. You may not be able to sow a lick. You may not be able to buy real estate. You may not be able to maintain a sun before sunrise to after dark schedule, but it does mean you use your talents and your time to aid your family. And it means that you take on your role as a helpmeet for your husband. How many of you husbands in here need your wives? Like I said, I don't go looking for stuff. I say, Vicky, where's my X, Y, or Z? I need this woman in my life. And so are you fully utilizing your talents in your time? And so finally, a mother of faith, she shines like a star. Do you know what man's chief end is? What mine and your whole purpose is for being here on earth? Man's chief end is to glorify God. And godly moms, how do they do that? 1 Timothy 5:14. I'll read that for us. So I would have younger widows marry, bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander. Do you remember Job? You remember the conversation that God and Satan are having? And God says, if you consider Job that he's blameless and upright, and did you read that Satan then says, no, God, you're wrong, he's not blameless and upright. Satan indirectly agrees with God that this man is blameless and upright. Job, shine like a star. And so, ladies, shine like a star by doing these things and not giving the adversary an occasion to slander you. And then I'll read Titus 2, 4 and 5 is the final verse. And so, train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. And so when you act, as Manny Pacquiao says, as a real Christian, a doer, not a hearer only, you believe God and obey, you bring glory to Him and you shine like a star. And I think one of the greatest examples of that is Hannah. go and read 1 Samuel 1 this afternoon. I'm going to skip it just for time's sake, but you know the story. You know that she was being laughed at because she couldn't bear children. And finally, she's praying to the Lord and she asks Him to give her a child. And if He does, she'll turn this child over. And so she gets this child. And what does she do? She consecrates him and gives him to the Lord. She was a woman who shined like a star. And so, ladies, does the idea of bringing glory to God through your family as a mom and a wife ever even cross your mind? By your words and actions, are you giving Satan occasion for slander because you don't do these things there in Timothy? Or are you reviling the Word of God by violating that there in Titus 2? And so as we close, you remember what I said earlier that one gentleman said, Joseph Worthland? The more often we see the things around us, even the beautiful and wonderful things, the more they become invisible to us. And so let me ask you, kids, if you're here today and you're a child, that does not necessarily mean that you are under 18. What's your most prized possession? Your greatest treasure? Well, I'm holding it in my hand for a lot of you. Cell phone. I'm preaching out of it for a lot of you others. A tablet. Or your iPod. But here's what I want the point for us to really get. Dads, husbands, listen to me. What's your most prized possession? Your greatest treasure? So I brought some show and tell this morning to drive this point home. I've got some of them you'll have to look out in the audience because they're little rugrats running around. That's our greatest treasure. Here's another greatest treasure. You could burn up every book in my house, but leave me this one because this one is the one that I read every day and I go to for sustenance and aid and comfort myself. Or this set of golf clubs that my wife got me for Christmas that I use to show my potential son-in-law I'm not as old as I look or he thinks I am this week and whooped him out on the golf course. Don't worry, it's unloaded. I threatened to when I was talking about the mission emphasis to get this up here. But this is my deer rifle. You could take any other gun I've got and take it away. But I have put more meat in the freezer with this one rifle here. And so it's a great possession and treasure of mine. Got here, my wife reminded me of these Colts from the UT Vols 1998 undefeated national title. And hopefully I'm going to have a matching pair beside it that says 2015 or 2016. Here's one. This may not look like much to you, but this is the first all-star team that I ever coached. And one of the moms took this picture of us there at the end, all the kids with their trophies, and she had every kid on the team autograph and sign this, and this hangs in my study. And I use the kitchen table more than I use it. See, my wife's already forgot the instruction I gave her this morning. You see, because truth be told, you know what my greatest treasure is? It's right here. Because I'm going to tell you, if it was not for this woman, I wouldn't be the man that I am. I wouldn't know Jesus Christ. And I wouldn't be standing before you as your pastor today. And so, guys, we got a lot of stuff that we think is great and awesome. But sometimes, because the things around us that are the most beautiful, we see them day in and day out, we forget how blessed we would be without them. Amen? And so let's rise up and call our mothers and our wives exactly what they are and that is praise them for being our greatest treasure, a mother of faith. Will you commit to do that, not only for 24 hours, but every day of your life? Let's pray. Father, we come to you today. I just thank you so much for the greatest treasure that each of us possesses, and that's a mother of faith. Thank you for that fact. Thank you so much for all that they do for us, even though it goes unappreciated many days. Father, just help them to know that one day you're going to give them a reward that can far outweigh any words that I could ever speak or any gift that we could ever give them here on earth. I pray you would bless each and every one of them today to know just how much they are loved and appreciated. It's in the wonderful, precious name of Christ that we pray. Amen. And so as we come to this time of invitation, if you will, stand with me this morning. Like I said, if it wasn't for this lady, when somebody laid a Vacation Bible School flyer on our doorstep and taking our family to church and dragging me there, if it hadn't been for that fact, I wouldn't be here today. And so if you are here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, let me tell you, that is the greatest treasure. Because I said the greatest treasure I had are these things, but truth be told, the greatest treasure I have is knowing Jesus Christ. Amen. And so if you don't know Him today, come, accept His offer of forgiveness for your sins and eternal life through what He has done for you. Or if you've been visiting with us here at Crossway and God is calling you to join our family here, or you've been saved but never been baptized and God is calling you to follow in believer's baptism, whatever it is God's calling you to do during this time of invitation, or to come to the altar, or just go to your mom and give her a big hug and thank her for all she does, this is time for you and the Lord to do business this morning.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Remember, like I said, you don't have to physically give birth to somebody to mom on, do you? And so I know there's a lot of kids that you potentially come into contact with on a daily basis that don't have mamas. You got two ladies that can probably tell you tons of stories of what they see in the school system on a daily basis of kids that ain't loved, kids that don't know about Christ. And so think of that and mother them, because that may be the only mother's love that that child will ever know. Amen. And so I'm going to ask Marty if he will dismiss their services.
Father in heaven, thank you for this time to come to your house and celebrate our mothers and celebrate the women in our lives. Father, we just thank you for your mother, that she brought you into this world through the blessing of the Lord. And we just pray that we'll be strong for them, and they'll continue to be our strength in this world. Guide us today and let us love on our mothers and our wives today so that they'll know that we do appreciate them. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, in Christ's name. Amen.
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 You know what?
Where's the mother at today?
Hey, let's have it.
Sure.
No.
surprised how much it's easier.
That's what I'm scared about. Is you can break them on the way back home. That's the scary part about it. That he had faith enough to break it here.
And make sure that nobody messed with it.
Exactly.
That's why it needs to be in the center of the table.
That was pain right there.
Right.
Now it is, right?
Will, that voice, like, I couldn't see you, but you sounded amazing, right?
Yeah.
So, Will, when you get your deep voice, you know, it's like Freddie Mercury, man.
But she had one that was like...
You go from all the way from bass, all the way to...
Freddie Mercury, he had an eight octave vocal. We used to sing
If you look at his live concert at Wembley Stadium?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite ones.
Oh my
god. He warms up before a chant melody.
It's like, my blood is just pumping, so yeah, go!
Yeah, I remember how gay he was, and I'm like, oh,
pretty Mercury.
I don't even know. The lead singer for the Queen.
So Vic was talking about us like on our phones that much, and I can't even read it.
That's
the other problem with it though, is that you just can't read it.
He needs a better one too.
You can't read pictures. You can look at pictures.
I just can't read pictures. I can look at the picture and tell if there's a schedule there, but I can't read any of the words on it.
What kind of songs are they?
Yeah.
But I'm
sending
out actually because they're going to the lake.
Papa, your plan just got busted. Alright, what about
an actually
spray? It's
going to be usually just...
Your finger rots off,
coach.
You come complain.
Yeah, so...
That is true. Well, it's functional.
Punk, yeah. You remind me so much of my grandma. Like, y'all look, it is. She's awesome. Y'all look just like, you're meaner than she is. Like, she would never give me a purple. She would never give me a purple.
Only because I got his nippy in the very beginning, and I will never, ever
take
it
to the
end. Don't pay him. Don't pay him nothing.
Especially not when I was coming here, because I don't have a roommate.
Thanks, brother.
Hey, I need to come visit you.
What is
that? Hey, not TV
skin
test.
Oh.
Come on.
All right. I'll call. Hopefully your computers will be working this time.
I'm not sure.
Thanks, Dan.
Hey, don't leave me. I don't want to be alone.
So I need to go to Kroger.
Yep,
so
no problem.
I think I can go home and I can get my car. So I'll never know. Yeah, why don't you do that, and I'll go home and let the dogs out.
But I have to go home.
Bye, y'all.
She didn't have to go with it. She's got a new car.